Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you today, joining us from all around the world. Also, joining us as she's continuing to return to our show. I've had an opportunity to chat with her, meet her personally, dine with her, and also do a television video interview with her, and hopefully we'll be doing lots more. I'm talking about Nina Kelly. Yes, you may remember that name here on our show. Matter of fact, this is part two of our series together here on the program. We're very excited to have her back. She's coming to us live from beautiful Delray Beach, Florida. And it's really extraordinary when we get a chance to welcome back folks who've been on our series. Now, we're going to talk about, of course, a lot of amazing things. She is the author of Honeybee Treehouse, a children's picture book that introduces young readers to the importance of saving bees and what they can do to help. Because bees don't just make honey. They are critically important to nature, more so than people ever realize. They play a vital role as pollinators, ensuring we have beautiful flowers, fresh fruits, and vegetables, too. But tragically, bees have been dying worldwide at an unsustainable rate with serious consequences for our natural world. The number of honeybee hives in the U.S. has decreased from 6 million in the 1940s to about 2.5 million today. Nina is the author of Honeybee Treehouse, and again, she was inspired to write Honeybee Treehouse, doing what we all did at the beginning of the pandemic, walking in nature. Of course, most children, even adults, are afraid of bees. She says, truthfully, if you do leave them alone, they will not harm you. Bees are much smarter than you think. They're a very community-minded lot. They have jobs, and they do their job. Writing the book, she learned not to be afraid of them. She loves bees. Honeybee Treehouse has even drawn the attention of the World Bee Project's founder as well, who writes in the beautiful book, children discover wondrous facts about these little creatures who we depend on for most of the food that keeps us healthy. The book is available at Amazon as well. You could also go to Nina's website, and you can go to Nina, that's N-I-N-A, M, that's the letter M, and then Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y.com. We're going to continue our conversation with part two of the series right now with Nina Kelly joining us live and direct from Florida. Nina, welcome back to Close Up Radio. Always a pleasure to get a chance to chat with you, and hope you're doing well, and welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice speaking to you again. And how are you these days?
We're doing well, yes, we're doing well, and it's so nice to hear your voice, and it's, you know, been interesting the last couple of years, and you really started immersing yourself in this book as you were walking in nature, right? Tell us about that, how that really inspired you, nature, and surrounding yourself with nature.
Well, thank you. You know, it's like all of us, COVID and everything else that's going on in life, we live in a different world from different perspectives right now. And for me in particular, it was good for me to get out and just walk and observe nature and just be one with nature. And then as in doing that, then I became even more observant than I had been in the past. And I noticed the flowers and the blooming and of course, the bees and everything. I moved to Florida 2 years ago, and I became much more aware of nature. And so from that, I became more observant of the bees, and I watched them. And from there, I just started doing a little research, and then the rest of the story is the beginning of the creation of the book. So that's how it all began.
That's absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
that's, I mean, when you, yeah, when you have an opportunity to really sink your teeth in like that, it can be absolutely extraordinary. Let's talk a little about that. I mean, how did you discover, for folks joining us and maybe didn't hear previous episode, how did you discover the importance of bees and why did you become so passionate about it? Like I said earlier, a lot of people are, they're afraid of bees.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, like most of us, well, I came to visit, I'm going to back up again. I came to visit my son, and that's what brought me to Florida. And, of course, with COVID, I wound up having to stay here. And then I noticed him as he was planting all the flowers in his yard that I just noticed how the bees would go from flower to flower to flower. And then that, so I've just observed them. And so then I started just doing a little reading and research, and I went, oh, my goodness, they're so needed. You know, I'm almost ashamed of myself that I didn't realize how vital they are to everything, to our, not only our, not only to nature, but also to our food sources, to the vegetables, to the fruits. I mean, so much of everything we take in is due to bees. And the more I learned, the more I studied and did research of them, I went, wow, if I, as an adult, am afraid of them and don't know, then what about the little children? And it's also been a part of me that I really believe children are much more observant as they're in a younger age than we are. And if they can realize the importance of bees or just be introduced to the importance of bees, then, wow, what a great opportunity for them to participate in helping bees to thrive and survive. And that's kind of, you know, it became more and more interesting to me. And I do have to tell you on a sidebar, this is crazy. I live in a condo, and I have my windows open. And last week, last week before the interview, a bee flew in, well, excuse me, a couple weeks ago, but a bee flew in, and it came into my room, and I went, well, now that's a kick in the pants. I'm four stories up, and the bee flies in. Of course, now I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I just...
Did you, befriend the bee? Because you're such a personable person. I could see you befriending the bee and naming the bee Arthur, so it would be Bee Arthur.
I love it. What a great play on words. No, well, you know, it's interesting because I said to you, I love that, Jim. Thank you.
I always make you laugh all the time we can.
I know. I love it. I thought, wow, that is so creative. You know, but it's interesting because the first thing I did was start a conversation because bees communicate with one another. They have their own language. They communicate. So the first thing I said was, now, you know, Mr. B, this is way out of your territory. And I spoke to it, and it was very still. I put it on an index card and then let it go out the window. Now, prior to that, I may have been afraid, you see. But that bee got on the card. It didn't move, and off it went. So bees are much wiser than we give them credit. Much wiser, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Absolutely.
But I love your play on words.
I mean, be Arthur.
I love it.
So how, you know, kids, obviously, how do we get kids to, how do we get kids to love bees? I mean, there are some that do, but, you know, most are afraid. They don't want to be, you know, anywhere near them.
Right. Well, I personally believe by, number one, books, you know, introduce them to bees, introduce to things, let them know the value of bees, that the things that they put in, that they ingest daily for food is a direct correlation from bees. And then, so that's number one, bring them to the bookstore, bring them to the libraries, introduce them, and then bring them out to farmers, gardeners. And you know, they're more than willing. These bee organizations will be more than willing to have children to come out and introduce them to beehives and how bees make their honey. And, you know, that's education is the name of the game, I think, and experience. And then once children are exposed, you know, they have their own creative minds. And that's why I ended it with, okay, they formed the bee club, and let's go see what they're going to do, what's going to happen next, you know. And children are totally creative. You know?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how have people been responding to the book? And congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Actually, I'm excited about it. Because, as you know, that was a whole new genre for me. And I'm very excited about it. I've been very receptive. And I actually met the president of the Beehive organization here in Florida. And we had a conversation, and we talked about it. I introduced my book to him. And he, you know, he said, listen, anytime you want to come and visit and see what I do and bring out the hives, you know, so that you can have more information or anything I can do to help you. You know, everyone works in collaboration. We're all after the same thing. Let's save our planet. You know, so it's been very good. I'm excited about that. Very excited.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, so people have been responding and wanting to connect on it, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I've had, I've had really good response and different people, and I've had different ladies that I know and different organizations go, oh, I'm going to give this book to my grandchild, or yeah, I'm going to spread this out to the schools, and, you know, so it's been good. I'm excited about it, very excited about it. You know.
That's fantastic. Congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
Bees really do have their own culture. When you watch videos, you know, mm-hmm. either on the internet or you watch nature programs on television, you can just see how they really are workers. I mean, they have a mission,
right.
and that's
right.
what they're about. And, you know, there's a whole world within the bee culture that we're not privy to. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's really proof, I guess, in many ways, on many levels, of the world behind the world in certain ways, right? What have you learned about bees and their world and their culture that fascinates you that maybe you never knew about until you really started investigating all of this and really making it such a priority for you?
Well, thank you. Yoga is such a big topic. It's a huge topic, and there's so much to learn. What I have observed and began to learn is that bees go from flower to flower. So not only do they produce honey, which we know of, okay, but they pollinate the flowers. And if you watch the bees, they will go to hundreds of flowers in one day. One bee will go to 100 flowers in one day. And they just go, they collect nectar, they leave pollen, they go to the next flower, and it's very methodical. And you are so correct. They have a job, and they know what their job is. And they're very focused on their job. They have their own communication. And they communicate with other bees on where is the best nectar. They let other bees know where the best nectar is. And I think that's fascinating. I was quite amazed by that. The other thing is bees like holes. Now, we all know about beehives, but we don't know, or most of us don't know, I should say, that bees always look for little holes, because that's where they can make their cones. So if you just take it out of, just keep it in raw nature, not in a honeycomb situation, that's exactly, they look for holes, they go in there, they make their nest. And they build their honeycomb in there and produce, and that's where they live. It's really remarkable, and they really are not harmful. I mean, unless it's like anything else, if you're going to attack it, well then it's going to protect itself. But it doesn't serve the bee well to you know, that's not their, I hate to use the word mentality, but that's not in their world. They're not attackers. They're doers. They're bees. You know, they have a job, and their job is to pollinate, you see. So they don't have time for all this external fighting, so to say, that we see in so many other parts of our life, you know. really interesting.
In our everyday human life, right? Exactly.
Yeah,
humans for
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's quite interesting. What else have you learned that, mm-hmm. you know, as you were writing the book, and how did you sort of make something that could be scary to some mm-hmm. kids into something that is approachable and warm and friendly for kids?
You know, very interesting, and I've learned this just by living my time on Earth. So many things that we're frightened of, we turn and go the opposite way. And so our fear becomes even greater. But the things that we try to observe and really understand, then our whole mindset changes. You know, we're not. And so what happened with me and bees, another part of this is that I went to my son's place in North Carolina and had my grandchildren, and I was trying to explain to them, and I realized right then and there how excited they became, like, oh, do they do this, and what else do they do? And so that helped me, too, because it made me realize that the young minds are very interested in things that they don't understand. And if you just take an opportunity to explain a little bit to them, then they move from fear toward more interest or more observation or even a greater understanding. And that was the same for me. You know, the more I learned, the more I realized, wow, these are just little insects doing their thing and trying to make our world a better place. And because of our lack of knowledge and understanding, we haven't appreciated them. So it's kind of a win-win, you know. And my little grandchildren were very excited. Matter of fact, the first draft I wrote, they go, oh, no, what about this and what about that? So, you know, that's fun. That's fun when you're in a project like that.
That's really amazing, huh? When you think about it, I can hear the passion. One of the last times I chatted with you, you were there on location in Florida. And remember, we heard all kinds of sounds, animal sounds, and there were squawking ducks and all kinds of cool things. It was really amazing. Remember that? Are those ducks still there?
Well,
geese, whatever they were.
Let me tell you, I wanted to go outside today for this interview, but because remember every time you asked me a question, it's like they answered before I could, and we were cracking up because they were so in such conversation with us. You know, it was really interesting. But I want to share something with you, and this is true, and I have a video to prove it. There is so much wildlife here that once you start speaking and visiting and really appreciating the wildlife, and nature, I'll put it that way, is that they correspond with you. And I was telling my son, I said, you're not going to believe this. There is a stork here. Now I'm from South Louisiana, and we love French bread. So I was out there eating some French bread, and I threw a piece to the stork. Well, the stork came closer and closer, and that stork was 2 feet away from me. And so I couldn't get it, but he loved the French bread. And the more I gave it, the more he came, the closer he came. I mean, and that reminded me of you, Jim, because when we were talking, you know, I was on speaker, and then every time you'd ask a question, all the birds would chirp in, and they were just letting you know how they felt. So, you know, just like birds and bees and whatever, they all have their language, and they're all part of us. I mean, we're all part of the universal mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So I have to tell you, I call that a left-handed gift. That's one of the gifts of the past 2 years. It has truly given me a greater appreciation of nature. And I thought I did before, but not near as much as I do now, you know.
And I'm left-handed, so that's perfect for me.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
There you go.
See?
you understand. I'm glad you brought up about the birds, because you tell anybody else that, and they go, oh, yeah, right, sure. But you witness it. I mean, you know.
That's it.
I know. You know.
So do the birds and the bees.
Yeah, right. And they just kind of communicate.
Funny. Yes. How did you come up with the name Honeybee Treehouse? That's very inviting to the title of the book.
I have to tell you, I don't know. I guess because I was
just
thinking about the honeybee. Yeah, I just did. And what happened was, certainly honeybee. And then I always thought about, wouldn't it be fun to live in a treehouse? And because of that, I think that's probably how it came about. You know, because I always had this vision of, wow, wouldn't it be fun if you had this huge oak tree and then you could be up there in a treehouse? And, you know, that probably came from as a child, you know, my imagination as a child. And that's probably, I'm sure that's how it all came to be.
Yeah. Now, did you fear bees as a child yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a city girl. So I didn't know too much about nature, you know. And that's why I can talk about fear. I know exactly what fear is, and I know what it can do to you, too, on any level. So, you know, that's one of the, probably one of my journeys is that, you know, don't fear. I mean, observe, find out, and move forward, move through it. So, you know, so much of what we write and so much of what we do, it's truly our own journey, you know. And hopefully we can
really
help others
it?
Along us. Oh, it really is.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, and that's key for people to remember and to realize. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The book itself, and you did it, I think it's a great idea. What made you decide to do it as a picture book?
Well, I did, there again, that's another journey. I happened to meet someone by the name, a Canadian, and her name is Miriam Landry, and she was giving a master class on children's books. And she and I both are students from Jack Canfield, and we've had studied with Jack Canfield for many years. So what happened was, through Jack Canfield, I met Miriam. Through Miriam, I took a master class on children's books, of course, and that's what I learned. So I learned that a picture book, traditionally, are 1,000 words or less. Well, how do you get a message across in less than 1,000 words? And that was a challenge for me because I kept thinking, there's so much more I want to say. There's so much I want to do. And that's really how that
and
came
out. And a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Exactly. Yeah, because there again, your imagination. And let's go back. I love the way that you interview because you brought me right back into the visual of nature. And that is, and so if you take a book, you're walking into nature. It's symbolic.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. See, and I really like what you have to say there because it brings me back to the place of, okay, how was this created? Well, I took this course. I took a course from her trying to figure out how do you write a children's book. And then because of the time period, I was in nature. And I just felt so close to nature at that time, and as I do now. But and then that's when my mind opened up and I became, you know, we're all students of life, let's face it. Hopefully we're going to continue to learn as long as our heart beats in this time frame, you know. That's how that came about.
Yes, I tell you, it's really incredible, isn't it? You have an opportunity to just really, you know, and to engage children and to have an opportunity to engage children in the way that, you know, you do is absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? It just gives you an opportunity to really, you know, you have an opportunity to sink your teeth into something that really has an opportunity in just a very direct way, but a very empathetic way. Because I know empathy, you and I have talked about it, empathy is very big for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we're kindred spirits on that, Jim. We are because we, in through our lens, our eyes, we feel the passion of the world, and we are compassionate. And what we're trying to do is, in our little way, and I don't mean to, I have to be careful. Sometimes I say our little way. That's a very Southern thing to say. But in our manner, we want to help the world. We want to play the right role in the world to make this world a better place. And you're right, we're empathetic in that respect because we feel and we're very compassionate. And yet at the same time, instead of being stuck there, we want to be energetic and move forward, i.e. get past the fear of bees and realize their greater value. You know, that's a case in point right there.
Really amazing. Yes.
Thank you.
What are some other things that you've also been working on since we chatted last night? I know you always have so many fabulous things. Yeah, you're plugged in to a lot of different things.
Thank you. Well, let's see. At the time, I don't know if currently what I'm doing is I'm doing a second edition to Grace Has a Silent Voice. And I've been asked to add more stories to my book, and so I'm doing that. And, that, as you remember, is a book about the human spirit and the heroes that come in our lives and also the resilience of the human spirit in times of tragedy. And so I'm revisiting that and working on that at the moment. And then I'm also, at the same time, working on a second children's book. So I'm excited about that. So, doing both of those at the moment. And that's what's happening.
That's fantastic. That is great. That is fantastic.
Thank you.
I do want to let
folks
know that the book we're talking about, Honeybee Treehouse, is available at, of course, Amazon. And also they can learn more by going to your website, ninamkelly.com. That's N-I-N-A and then the letter M, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y.com, which is fantastic. And, again, I think it's really exciting that the World Bee Project's founder actually, connected with you on this. Quite exciting, huh?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's based out of London, and he has communicated with me since the book just came out at the end of December, and he connected with me, and he's spreading the word out there in London, and he was excited about it. And, it's the same old thing. We all try to help each other. We work together. We weave the web of life, and by doing that, we help one another. And that's so I was thrilled that he was able to give a testimony, and he read the book and said, absolutely. And then he corresponded with me after the book was out and said, congratulations, and let's inform the children. Let's get going. And that's pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
Yes, that's very good. I can't believe this went by so fast. 30 minutes went by in a New York minute, Nina. Hopefully we'll definitely chat some more, explore some more. Always enjoy chatting with you.
Thank you.
And always we just connect such in a real, authentic, organic, and fun way as we're talking about very important things. And I just really think it's cool. So
thank you, Jim.
Good stuff. And of course, kudos to your illustrator, Hermer Edwards, as well, being involved in the project.
Yeah.
You've surrounded yourself with some quality people and talented people as well, which is great. Thanks for joining us, Nina. A pleasure as always, and I look forward to us exploring more together. It's always a pleasure.
Hope you
enjoyed yourself today I did.
I did always have fun with you, Jim, always. It's a blast. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. You're a great mentor for all of
us.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And say hello to B. Arthur. Do you have B. Arthur in a jar or something?
I love it. I don't know, but I'm going to have to make that my character.
That's it, right? That's it.
I know. I love it.
You be well.
I need to call you up for creative. Yeah.
That's it. That's right. Mind is always working. You take care, Nina, okay?
You too. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. NinaMKelly.com, the website, Amazon also, and the book is Honeybee Treehouse. Nina Kelly, our guest, author extraordinaire. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time to next time, and I invite you to stay tuned. Another great episode and guest of Close Up Radio coming up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. And bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.